We're in Romans chapter 8 once again. It's been quite some time since we've been in Romans chapter 8 from, you know, Easter and Palm Sunday and Israel, and then last week where I was semi-coherent coming off of jet lag and a side tour to Paris. And by the way, so far as I know, Rod, we've been praying for Rod. He's been in the hospital in Paris, and he's, this is from one of the other churches that were on the trip, and he's doing fine. He should be released and head back home to Tennessee this week. So, I mean, literally, he was on the airplane dying. So, the Lord's good. Romans chapter 8, once again. Pick it up in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Shall we pray? Lord, this is one of those verses that we cherish, one of those statements from You that we cling to this, we hold fast to this, we trust this. And there are times in life where we tend to look at this and say, I don't know. I don't know if this is possible right now with where my life is and the situations and circumstances and pains and difficulties. And all of us have gone through these times, and it's rough sometimes. And we look at this verse and there it is. It's resolute. It's constant. It's as true as when it was penned by Your servant Paul as it is today, and it was true before he penned those words. But it's hard to believe sometimes. For our time right now in Your Word, would You please speak to our hearts? And perhaps more importantly than just speaking to our hearts, it's our minds that need to consider this. It's our minds that need to believe this, that we need to say within ourselves, this is so. This is true. Offer a hearty amen to this. It's true. All things will work together for good. So as we study this small passage, this one singular verse, and this massive statement for us as believers in Jesus Christ, again, help us to get as much out of this as possible that we might, by way of application, live it. Apply ourselves to it. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible's a pretty easy book. It's easy in textbook form, isn't it? It's easy to admire the heroes and to look at their great victories and say, yeah, it's amazing. I love those guys. I love what they've done. All those great men and women of the Scriptures. And it's also easy in so many ways as you're reading so many of the passages, the history of the Old Testament, even reading through the Gospels, you know, and the blunders. Are you with me with this? Like the 12 apostles? I'm like, I'm so grateful that it just tells us about those guys. It's like, they're amazing guys. Sure. Sure they are, you know. And it tells us, and we can appreciate their weaknesses and their failures and their shortcomings. It's an easy book. The Bible, however, kind of gets sticky when we're the ones that are meant to follow it and obey it and, in a word, live it. And Romans 8:28, it's not difficult until it is. And there's so much to say about this. I'm going to do the best I can to stick to my notes on this. By the way, we're not going to really even finish this entire verse. You guys, now don't laugh at me. You know, I mean, like, we'll get through Romans chapter 8 next year. I have no idea, but I'm not in a rush. But, you know, you can look at this and you can hear me read this and say, okay, well, that's easier for you, Pastor. Like, this is not easy for me. And this is not easy for me and for the Foster family. And, you know, because we're normal functioning people that live in the United States of America, we've had a couple just tough things come up. Like, everyone's fine, but just a couple tough things. And, like, Christy and I were talking the other day and praying, and like, I don't know. And my Bible's just sitting open on my desk. I'm like, yep, Romans 8:28, huh? I'm like, okay, I guess this is true. Well, that's easy for you. No, and we talked about this last week, didn't we, with Gideon. God uses ordinary people. Well, this is, you know, for the super extraordinary. No, it's not for the extraordinary. It's for all of us. And it's to be applied by all of us because it's true. So it's not difficult until it is. several components to this, and this is kind of why I want to take my sweet time with it. The first thing that's so important is the context. You guys are students of the Bible. Context is king. And what should stand out to you immediately, I'm reading from the New King James, and so far as I have checked, every other translation will start this way. Verse 28, and. That means it's connected to that which comes before it. It's connected to verse 27. And verse 27, just looking at the context, and by the way, we're not going to really be able to thoroughly analyze this on a Sunday morning, but it gives us a sense of what's happening. Verse 27, now, which is telling you it's connected to what he has been saying. Verse 26, likewise, okay, likewise what or from what? Verse 25, but, okay, that's a contrasting statement from something else. Verse 24, for, or because what? For what? Verse 23, not only that, and your Bible students, not only what, right? Well, takes us back to verse 22, for, verse 21, because, verse 20, for, verse 19, for, verse 18, for, verse 17, and you get the picture. In other words, verse 28 is not a standalone verse. Where it stands is critical in the context. And part of it, even just back it up, oh, verse 25 is helpful, but, good starting. If we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for, with what? Perseverance. Context, context, context. We get to verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And the difficulty, and I'll come back to this, I'm kind of jumping way ahead at this point, but the difficulty as we look at verse 28 is probably this. I don't see how that's possible. Well, isn't that the point of hope? It's that which we do not see. And the difficulty, again, the Bible's an easy book until it's needed to be applied. The difficulty here is that we have to believe this. And what an interesting thing for me to say from a pulpit to believers. What I'm saying is, hey, believers, let's believe the Word. Well, I believe in God. Good, and let's also believe God. So not a standalone verse. The context is important. I'd encourage you, if you've not spent much time in Romans chapter 8, to kind of go back on your own and consider so many of these things. And so many of these little then components, which are fairly massive in verse 28. Here's the first one. And we know. We know. And the Greek word here is similar to our general term in English, to know. It's to perceive. It's to see. It's to observe. To inspect or to examine. Like you can work on this. You can analyze this. And it also means to know by way of experience. Well, what do we know? And to have that confidence, we know this. We know that all things work together for good. And the second major component of verse 28, all things. And if you've been around any Bible teaching church for any amount of time, you've probably heard any pastor or preacher say, all in the Greek means all. And it really does mean all. And this is where I look at this and kind of, that seems like it's a little bit of a stretch. If he said, and we know that, oh, I don't know, most things, high 90 whatever percentile amount of things, but it doesn't say that, it says all things. And yes, it's kind of, let's just get after it a little bit, that means the tough stuff too, and I want to just camp out on this component here for a little bit. We know that all things. It's worth this quick mention that this concept, and I want you to follow me here for a minute because this is not going to sound right. This concept is not necessarily unique to the Christian faith. And obviously, it's absolutely to the Christian faith all at the same time, especially because of what else is said here in the context of it. Here's what I mean. You know, the tough stuff of life, the hard stuff, it works for our good. And certainly the world gets this to a certain degree. The world has some catchy phrases and concepts to illustrate this. If you've ever gone to the gym, it's no pain, no gain. So that's going to, oh, it hurts now, but it's going to work together for good. Okay. And we know what we mean by that. And we say that kind of thing sometimes as believers. The tough stuff, it's worth it. It makes you stronger. In fact, don't we say that? Like in popular culture, we have that exact phrase, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And you've heard me say this before, my alternate rendition of that, what doesn't kill you only prolongs the inevitable, right? That's Like, everyone kind of gets this, no pain, no gain. And secular culture holds this to be true. And at least to some degree, we agree that that which is worth it is worth the investment of time and energy. It's worth the blood, the sweat, and the tears that come with it. The pain works together for good. So in one sense, it's not necessarily unique to the Christian faith, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is absolutely unique to the believer or for the believer in Jesus Christ. And we're going to dig into this a little bit here right now, and then, of course, into this further next week. But just for this right now, this week, part of the reason that this is unique for the Christian is because of exactly what it says, this first component. We know that this is true. The world hopes that this is true, hopes that, yeah, pain means there'll be some gain, and I hope that's true, but there's no real guarantees. I mean, in the world, when they're facing difficult times, it might get worse. And for a non-believer, there's no guarantee that it will work for good. It might actually work for incredibly bad for them. The world tries to believe this, but there's little to nothing for a foundation for that hope and belief. Oh, but for us, we know. And why? And here's the simple answer. We know because the Lord tells us so. Like, at what point in your Christian life do we have to just let out a nice deep sigh? I guess that's enough. Lord, if you said it, then I guess, no, not I guess, I suppose, no, not I suppose. I know because you are who you are, and we'll come back to that as well. This has to be true. And so it's absolutely unique to the believer in Jesus Christ. And again, even the tough stuff, and even the brutally hard, painfully gut-wrenching parts of life, yep, those work together for our good. And it's unique for us because of how it's good. It's unique for us because of what all it does in working for our good. In fact, we've already examined this to some degree back in chapter 5. In fact, would you turn back just a few pages to Romans chapter 5? Just read this opening stanza, Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, this is a, but wait, there's more. Not only that, we also glory in, wait, what? Tribulations? How would we, well, what does it say? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And what does verse 5 tell us about this hope? It doesn't disappoint. And why not? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. And of course, back here in chapter 8, we saw this at least to some degree in verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be. Not, I hope it will be. Probably, no, it shall be revealed. The sufferings of this present time, and part of the good that they work into us, and part of the good that they work for us, and this is so healthy and so important, is this reminder, this beautiful reminder that this world is not our home. That is so good for us. Thus, again, the context here in chapter 8, our hope is founded upon what is, and this is verse 24, that which is unseen. I love this. We are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? It's all working together for the good, and this is unique for us. Even the difficult stuff. And so much of this is what we've seen in places like 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're a note taker, just jot down this reference, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. And there's part of me like, come on, Paul. But because it never feels like just a moment when you're dealing with it. And affliction never feels light. Thanks for the wording there. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So there's this hope for that which is to come, which helps to settle our footing in the here and now. And there's this patience and perseverance and endurance that is developed for the here and now as well. Like, it's not just for the great there and then, it's actually for our good now. All these things, all of it, yeah. And again, part of this is this great inner work. This good that's working together for us includes things, of course, obviously on this side of eternity, but it's not limited to the material parts of this side of eternity. In other words, it's the spiritual life, the spirit-filled life, the heart and the soul and the spirit, and yes, as I was praying when we got started, our minds, that part of us. It's good for how we think, how we approach things. It's our worldview. I'll tell you what, if you can just fall in love with Romans 8:28 and genuinely believe it, things start to change. You're saying that things get better? No, I'm not. So the difficulties go away. The Bible doesn't say that. But you're able to manage them. Again, in context, all those things which we've seen and discussed in this chapter, you know, in verse 18, I read it just a moment ago, the sufferings. If you remember this from several weeks ago when we were in, I don't know, 2 months ago or whatever, in verse 20, creation is subject to futility. In verse 21, the bondage of corruption, which currently holds creation. And we saw the birth pangs of creation in verse 22, along with those inner groanings which we find in ourselves because of verse 26, our own weaknesses. All things? All things. All the things which perhaps we wished would have happened and didn't happen? Those things? All the things that we wished would not have happened and happened. All the things which have happened, and how about this? No, you're not saying this falls in the category of all things. How about all the things that have happened to us? All the things that someone's done to us? What about this just personally? Failed dreams or broken expectations and hurt that's been inflicted upon us. All means all. And this is as much for me as for everyone else. Like, I'm not a pastor first, I'm a Christian first. All of it. All of those things which cause the heartbroken, again, in context, what? All those groans of life, the groans in creation, the groaning in ourselves, the groaning as we see pain inflicted upon others. You know, again, I don't want to spend the next 2 months talking about this, but having just got back from Israel and walking through the Tel Aviv airport to see the posters of the hostages there, it's heartbreaking stuff. And all the circumstances and the rough situations of life. All of it? It's what it says. I said this when we got started here today. The Bible's a pretty easy book. It's easy in textbook form. Again, easy to admire the heroes, easy to appreciate their weaknesses, etc. And I said this when we got started, the Bible gets sticky when we're the ones meant to follow it, to obey it, and to live it. Romans 8:28, once again, is what? It's difficult when it's difficult. It's not difficult when, how's it going? Great! Not the Sunday morning, how you doing, brother? Praise the Lord, everything's great. Like, stop lying, you know, like we're really good on Sunday, we're terrible. On Sunday morning, we lie so much. How you doing? Fantastic. Please don't ask me any more questions. Please just let me sit down and don't talk to me. But how's it going? If we're honest, not great. But how about when things genuinely are going well? All things, of course. That's easy. Okay, how about when things are going terribly? It doesn't change. And it gets difficult when things are difficult. I think one of the main reasons that Romans 8:28 is not easy in the living of it is because of what is not found in the text. It doesn't offer any clauses. It doesn't offer anything beyond the simple beauty and the beautiful simplicity of what it says. In other words, it doesn't promise, and I mentioned this a moment ago, but it's not going to promise that things will get better. It doesn't say this: all things work together for the good, in that all things will get better for you since you're a Christian. No, it doesn't say that. You should also take note of what else is not here. There are no asterisks to be found. No footnotes or subtexts. The Holy Spirit didn't say to Paul, okay, write this, good, Okay, now flip the page and put a big asterisk there so people will turn the page and look at this caveat to that. It's just nothing found there. I mean, you flip through. You can go all the way back to in your Bible to the Book of Concordance, like there's nothing else there, right? We don't find God saying anything like this. Well, obviously, when stuff is really bad, not even I myself can bring some good into it, much less work good into you. Aren't you glad that it doesn't say that? Because the difficulties of life would then be greater than God, that God would say, I can't help you there. That's out of my range. That's beyond my pay grade. Like, I can't help you. But all of it. And I'm glad that God also doesn't say here, all things work together, you know, for the most part, most of the time, for most of it, and for most people. But there's definitely some of you that this verse will not apply to you or your life. It doesn't say that. We know, and we'll talk about this next week, who the we is and why this is relevant to us. When the rubber meets the proverbial road, the truth of Romans 8:28 does not change. It cannot be altered. It can't even be challenged. In the text, and this is perhaps where it's really most difficult in terms of the living application of it, in the text we also don't find something that we all wish was here. Like, what's that? I'll tell you what I wish was here. I wish there'd be some sort of explanation. Specifically, thank you, Lord, for that truth. Thank you for that promise. It's wonderful, but we offer a comma. However, comma, Lord, it'd be really nice if you would tell us how this is going to work. It's nice that you're saying it's going to work, but I'd like to know the how of it. And we probably don't really want to readily admit it. And we not so secretly want some further assurances of not simply how it will work, but that it actually will work and that it will work for my good. But we're not offered that. We're offered, and we know. Lord, anything else? He offers us nothing else. Here's the reality. That's it. That's enough. God doesn't always share the details with you. And for those of you, those of us that are parents or grandparents, I should expect that you'd appreciate this, because you don't always share the details either. And you can go back, even if you're not a parent or a grandkid, you can go back to your childhood, and when you ask your parent a question that's kind of challenging, a statement that they made to you or an expectation, and when the answer comes back with this, because I said so. As a kid, how many of you said, well, thank you, mother, thank you, father, that is all I needed. I trust you, you know, inherently, so that's all I needed, and I'm sorry that I questioned you. We don't do that, you know, as kids, we don't do that, because I said so. And it's enough. And why is it enough when you're saying that to a child? Because you know it, and you know that they don't need to know all of it. They simply need to do one simple thing, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. You see, the all things includes the stuff that we cherish the most, and also includes the stuff of life which causes the greatest measure of fear and anxiety and turmoil in our hearts and minds. And these two are the same kind of categories. It's the four basics of life. It's our finances. It's our family. It's our future and our physical frame, our health. Just kind of the main things of life. All things. Yeah, but what if those things are challenged and affected and impacted? All things. I want to suggest one thing to you as I begin to bring this to a conclusion. It's always a scary statement when a pastor says that. All of this can be boiled down to one word. And it's a word that's not even found in the text here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I'm not reading between the lines. I'm not making something up. I'm just saying this is how we're going to live this. It's this one critical aspect of the Christian faith, one critical aspect of the actual living of this reality. It's one component upon which this all stands in terms of the difficulty of taking this out of the realm of the textbook and seeing it in the living lab of real life. It's the simple part of all of it that helps us to answer the how of it. How do we know this? And we know how. One word? I think you know what it is. It's faith. It's faith. We know this to be true. Hope says, yeah, but I can't see it. That's how hope works. That's how hope functions. That's how it operates. Again, just like with your kids or grandkids I mentioned a minute ago, you don't have to provide all the details because you know that what you're telling them is true, and you know that what you expect of them is good for them. The one thing that they simply need to do, again, is what? Trust you. They need to believe you. They need to have faith that what you're saying to them as a little child is not only true, but that it's good and it's good for them, whether they see it or not. Because I said so. Really? That's it? Well, yeah. Romans 8:28 is one of those, because he says so. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to need further explanation. I'm not granting you further explanation. You either believe this or you don't. And whether we see it or not, and how about this, whether we understand it or not, I don't see how this could work together for good, whatever the this is in your life. Or how about this, I don't really feel like that's true. Since when did feelings dictate reality? What we do need when things get rocky in life, faith, which is to say we need a confidence that Romans 8:28 is in fact true. Because check it out, it's true. And it's not true if you believe it's true, it's simply true. Because that's how reality works, that's how facts function. You love it when I remind you of this. Facts are stubborn things. Romans 28 is a fact. Well, I don't believe that to be so. Tough. It is. Romans 8:28 is an immutable spiritual truth. Again, what you do with this truth makes all the difference in the world for you. Oh, God is still going to work all things for your good if you are His, if you are the called of Him, if you love Him, if you are part of the body of Christ, if you've called upon Jesus for salvation. This is a greater than no pain, no gain type of sentiment. Like even if you say, well, I don't know if it's true, God's still going to work good in your life. It's a truth. It's a truth that when we grasp it, understanding the how of it doesn't really matter. It's just so. What challenges us, what confronts us and seeks to force us to doubt God or to doubt His goodness, or to doubt these statements that what He will work is going to be good towards us, but faith says, no, He said it and it's enough. Faith doesn't depend upon the how. It doesn't even need the how. And isn't that one of the frustrating, if we're honest, one of the frustrating things about the Christian life, like, eventually I'd like to see how this works. And sometimes God allows it. And sometimes when He allows us to see it, it's like 20 years later when we go, oh my goodness. I remember praying that prayer 20 years ago and wow, you were good. And He's like, yeah, nothing changed. Oh. Faith doesn't need to see. Faith, after all, is the substance of things for which we hope, the evidence of that which is not yet seen. Faith doesn't place demands on God for visible evidence of how or when God's plan will come to fruition. Faith simply and resolutely states, I believe God and I believe what He has declared. And the key to all of this should be obvious. The key to faith, the key to, and we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose, what's the key to this? Okay, it's faith, but what's back of that? What's back of that? Who is the one making the promise? Who is the one doing the promising? Is this not the true and living God? Is this not the God of creation? Is this not He who cannot lie? He who has power over death? Is He not El Shaddai, God Almighty? Is He not, how about this one, Hagar and Ishmael cast out, and she calls upon the Lord, and or He meets her, and she discovers He is El Roi, the God who sees. Not even looking for Him, He sees. Is He not Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals? It's an amazing conversation further. That word cannot not just be translated healed, but fixes. Is he not the God who fixes? Is he not El Olam, the everlasting God? And we sang this today. Is he not Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is my peace? Is he not love? Does he not provide grace and mercy? Does he not cover us with his comfort by his Spirit when things get tough? And what am I doing right now? I'm asking the obvious questions. What am I doing right now? This is what's so fun for me for some of these types of texts. I'll just say it. I have nothing new to declare to you today. I have no special insight. I have zero special insight. This verse, the other day, staring at me like, Jeremy, it's for you too. I know it is. But Lord, it's tough. And like, sweetheart, we need to pray. Oh, we sure do. And like, and it's just like, this is true. I know it's true. Nothing new to tell you. But when we apply our minds to this and consider who he is that's making this promise, really boils down to this. Obviously faith, and obviously faith in the one that's making the promise and his ability to keep it. But if you don't hold this to be true, what you're saying, even not necessarily deliberately, you're saying, thanks God, I just simply don't believe you. Oh! And now things go up a whole nother notch. Or you do, because he's God. It's like, do I not believe? Do I not know that he knows what he's doing? Do I not know that his ways are not my ways? And we do that too, don't we? It's tough right now. I wouldn't have done it this way. I'm not saying if I were God, but if I were God, I wouldn't allow this. His ways aren't my ways. His ways are actually better and higher and wiser than my ways. Do I not know that he's always good and that he always has good in mind for me? Do I not know? Do we not know? Do I not have? Do we not have the faith that even when things seem genuinely disastrous, that he loves me and he knows me? Again, that he sees and knows what I simply do not see, that he sees and knows what I cannot currently see or know. Oh, it's faith. It believes without seeing. It knows even when feelings tell us otherwise. Faith holds fast to that which God has declared. And what he has declared in his unchangeable word is that all things work together for good for those that love him and that are the called according to his purpose. It's true for the believer whether you feel like it's true or not. But if you don't feel like it's true, if you decide to let your doubts develop into pure unbelief, well, all things will still work together for your good, but man, you are going to miss out. Miss out on so much blessing associated with watching him work. We're amazing like that. We're like, all right, I guess if it's going to be good. And like, and then good happens, like, whatever. There's no way this can work together for good, or it can't because he's God and he said it would. I'm telling you, the Bible's an easy book. Easy to read the stories of others who have gone before us. Easy because we get to read the end of their lives too. We read the conclusion. We read Job. Okay, yeah, obviously. Like, flip to the last chapter. Okay, good, it worked out for good. We're not at our last chapter yet. That's where it's difficult. Why can't I see? Because you don't get to see. Well, I'd like to. You don't get to because that's not how faith works. Well, I'd like to. That's not how hope works. Oh, so I got to endure this? Yes, you do. Or, yes, you do. Because he's good. And you can actually approach this. I'm maybe getting carried away here, but maybe not. You can approach this as a real believer that would say, it's like a kid in the candy shop. Things stink right now, but God. And I wonder how he's going to pull this off. Because if Romans 8:28 applies for all things, and I do not see how it's going to work for this, but he said it is. I can't wait. And it's usually like, please may it be happen quickly. But God, you're still God. You're still good. You're still good at what you do. No details that are provided beyond this, just the promise of the God who loved me and gave himself for me. Promise of the God that proved His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were living in the camp of Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 2, that He sent Jesus to deal with our sin, our sins, and our sinfulness. While we were fighting against Him, resisting Him and resisting our ways, and yet He says, no, I'm going to work good for you. Church, might I encourage you to have faith that no matter what, all of it is by the hand of God in your life, working towards your good in the here and now, as we journey this road of life to the great there and then. Father, thank You for Your word. And as much as we look at this and it's tough sometimes, or it's not, because You don't change. You cannot change. And You're the God who cannot lie. So therefore, this is also immutable. It stands solid, unchallenged, impenetrable. Resolute through the ages. This was, again, as true as when Paul wrote it, as it is now, as should you tarry 10, 20, whatever years from now, this will abide constant. And we need it, Lord. We need this because most of the time, if we're honest, so much of life would say the opposite. There's no way this can work for good. In fact, it's not just not going to work for good, it's going to work for bad. But then You stand and You say, no, actually, I have something better in mind. Even if things remain in the realm of difficult or heartbreaking, yet they're still good. Even when things actually physically get worse in our lives, even when all those great important things with our finances and our families and our physical frame, our own health and our considerations of the future, even if things just kind of get bad, yet they don't because of You. Lord, we need this. And we don't simply need this as an encouragement on a Sunday morning. We need to wrap our minds around this, hold fast to this, be convinced of it, and even remind ourselves, talk to ourselves if needs be. God is going to work this for good. Even if, even when, I can't see it, yet it's true. Thank You, Lord, for our salvation. Thank You for all the work that You're doing in us. Thank You for the promises of Your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's all stand. So, hey, church, what am I going to tell you? Be the church. Part of being the church. This is so ironic, isn't it? Be the church by believing the word of God. Of course I do. Be the church by believing the word of God. This is so. Hang your hat on it. I mean, your entire life upon all things, we know this. Know it. Be convinced of it, even when your heart, brain, feelings are saying, there's no way. Maybe don't talk to yourself out loud. I don't know, around, you know, in company. Do that while you're driving. People just think you're on your phone at that point, you know, like, no, self, this is going to work for good. That's fine. Don't do that on Sunday morning. I don't know. Walk with Him. Walk in this truth. And be blessed as you trust Him for who He is. Thanks for being here. God bless you. See you later.